got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my dog tonight.
Big J.
Yeah, 8 is on that road right now. Hopefully he's getting to where he got to get to safe and sound. You know, everybody traveling over them holidays. Hope y'all had a good holiday. And L.A. don't been hot as L.A. for it to be raining like it is out here, because it's cold as a motherfucker out here now. But the streets is hot. The streets is hot as hell, though.
The streets is hot. The streets is hot. And the streets. You know what? I don't think that these cats is listening. You know, some of them hear you, but a lot of them don't want to hear the shit, and they just out there buck wild. I'm just glad the holidays is over. They buck wild. They buck wild.
Oh, they going real buck wild. You know, one of the things I was talking to you about earlier, man, they had an incident up at the Burlington Coat Factory in Hollywood, man, where a cat in there, I guess he had a knife or whatever like that, and 14-year-old girl, when they shot the guy, one of the strays that went and hit a little girl that was in her dressing room, you know, prayers to her family tonight, because I don't think no family plan to go out to get a dress for their daughter and, you know, they come home without their daughter, man. That got to be, you know, prayers up to that family, man. The little girl's name was, I have it right here. This young girl, Valentina Orellana Peralta, she was 14, was in the dressing room with her mother when a bullet aimed at the suspect passed through the wall, fatally striking the teenager. Valentina was killed by a gunshot wound to the chest, according to record shows. And you know they classifying this as a homicide. This murder is going to go on that guy that was in there.
Well, it shouldn't, because he didn't have a knife. He had a steel rod.
Mm-hmm.
He had a steel rod. When they, you know, he was killed too. And he had a steel rod next to his body. He didn't have a knife.
Exactly.
But this is the cold part about it. First, you got to look at it like this. The police are human, just like us. All of them, all the motherfuckers that wear uniforms ain't macho like that. All of them don't use this when they get in situations like that. They follow their first mind. And the first mind tells you to what? Shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So why would they not tase this man? Even if he had a knife, why not use the taser?
Well, that was my thought. Well, it's like you have a store full of people, right? These people are already panicked because there's somebody in there acting crazy, and they got everybody kind of staying where they at, right? The man don't have a gun. You could have tased him, or two or three of y'all could have went in there and just wrestled this dude down. You could have tased him, wrestled him down, handcuffed him, game over. Now you got a little girl, and I'm just trying to imagine how them parents is feeling, man, because I guess they went out evidently to get the girl. She was going out there to get in the dress for the quinceañera or whatever, right, a party she was going to, and now she didn't come home with her parents. This all happens over the holiday season, man.
It's crazy. But what about the police officer that know it was his bullet that killed that little girl? How do he feel about it?
I'm pretty sure he's going through some anguish, but you know what it seemed like it was convenient to do for them to say, okay, this homicide is on this guy. No, it's technically not. You know what I mean? It's technically not on him, because for all we know, it sounded like a cat that just had some mental problems that just snapped inside of a store.
Regardless, regardless, the use of force is a motherfucking noun. So I don't know their policies and all that other shit. So we can only elaborate on the shit. I see it as they should have tased this dude and took him down. What you assume him to have, you can't go by assumptions and just shoot a motherfucker down.
Yeah,
if you
got
a pipe, a steel pipe, then you could tase or y'all could take him down. But the police don't want to go get hurt. They want to go home.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? For it to be some strays, it sounded like it was multiple gunshots.
It was more than one because he's killed two. He got killed too. So yeah. It was more than one shot. How many shots does it take a motherfucker down?
Yeah, it don't take many, man. And just imagine, you know, you got so many people that's probably fucked up after this scenario. You got the mama, right? You got the mama, number one, that's going through her shit. And she probably guilty, wondering why the bullet didn't hit her instead of her daughter. Then you got two. Then you got the police officer. I'm pretty sure he going through his own kind of grief because I don't think no police officer want to kill a little kid.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and then you got this guy's parents. You even got the cat James who got shot that was in there with the steel pipe. Ain't no telling what was going on through Buddy's mind.
That's true. Well, I mean, we really can't say shit until we know more. But they said they got to do a lot of investigation. So we don't know what was going through his mind. But look at it, man. The police is killing motherfuckers out here. And if you got a stick or a bat or something in your hand, it's justified. But this little girl didn't have nothing to do with the situation.
No, not at all. Not
so
at all.
So how do we feel about taking this little girl life? I know that got to hurt. I know that got to hurt. It ain't nothing he can say to her parents. You know what I'm saying? But if he got kids, you just imagine what he could be going through when he went home or when he come back to work the next day or if he come back to work. So I'm like this, man. They got to be accountable just like we are. Like we got to be accountable for our bullshit. You know what I'm saying? If I accidentally shot a kid shooting at another nigga, I'm going to get that murdered. They're going to give it to me. I don't wear a badge, but do that justify murder because you got a badge on? No. No, it don't.
Yeah, you know what? It make you think about something. When I used to go to Japan, James, one thing I noticed is that Japan, they got crime like everybody else got, but they don't have as much crime as we have. And they got gangsters and stuff out there. They got people out there selling drugs and everything else. But did you know their police department don't even have guns?
Australia either.
They don't have no guns. And I'm pretty sure they got access to pistols if need be. I'm pretty sure if somebody showed up with some submachine guns acting a fool, they would be more than equipped to handle them. But you don't see cops walking around with guns, man. And when I tell you I've seen the police take some people down in Japan, it's strictly all force. Just boop, 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 and they tied up on the ground that quick.
Whoop that ass. So
yeah, they go toss that ass up real quick, and that's it.
Police officers out here need more training in combat, physical combat, opposed to grabbing your pistol first. Here you have police officers mistaking their tasers for their gun and killing somebody. You got to be accountable for that because that's a mistake you ain't supposed to make on the field. That's just some wrong-ass foul shit. You can't
use that's real.
And shouldn't be able to use that type of shit as an excuse, man. So basically, I mean, are we guinea pigs? You know what I'm saying?
Just
and
about,
all
almost.
Police ain't like that, dog. All police officers ain't like that or wake up on that tip. You know what I'm saying? But now we know you got some police officers out here that's with the KKK shit. You got some police officers just don't like black people. And they talk about it on their radios and they tell you when they pulling you over or patting you down.
Yeah, for real. You know what?
All that other shit. So
see, this one, it was good having Reggie's ass on the show to talk about them thoughts of what cops be having, what be going through their mind when certain shit go down.
And I can go at it with him too right now.
Yeah, for sure. Show me the video. That'd be the thing. And I talked to Reggie. Reggie had a good Christmas too, he said.
Yeah, I seen him like a damn near Look at his face getting fat.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. He over there eating good, eating them good meals and shit now.
This is what we doing.
Okay.
It was a little girl in Burlington's trying on some clothes, and the police had an altercation with another gentleman, and they wind up shooting at him, and the girl was struck by a stray bullet and was killed. What's your take on that? Should the police be accountable for that, or is he justified for what he did because it was an accident, a stray bullet?
Well, see, there I go again. Well, I keep telling y'all, accidents happen. I only believe, accountable, hell yeah, you're going to be accountable. Well, are you talking criminally or civilly? Civilly, you, for sure, he is.
Right.
Now, the question is, criminally, you got to be doing something to neglect, you know, was he drunk when that happened? Was he out there doing a felony or a crime when that happened? Or was it just an accident?
The man was inside of Burlington's.
I don't care where you're at. Okay,
I guess he was tripping, and the police was called. The police came in, and the guy had a metal rod, and the police fired on him. They took him down, but a straight bullet hit the girl. You don't think they should have used the taser?
Yeah, she was inside of a dressing room, and the straight went through the dressing room wall and hit the little girl.
The little girl, 14.
1-year-old, 90-year-old, it doesn't matter about the age, you know, if somebody, for that's happening to. It's all about, do people go to jail for accidents or for things that you do where you shouldn't have been doing, and then you cause somebody to die? The difference is what I'm trying to say. Let's use a drunk driver and a regular driver driving. You have a car accident and you drunk driving and you kill someone versus you just driving down the street, have an accident, someone die. Should you go to jail? You should go to jail for the drunk driving one. But should you go to jail for the accident?
You took somebody's life. I don't think you should. I mean, it all depends on if he just rear-ended him and killed a person. I'm not saying if he would spill some coffee in his lap and then ran the light and killed a pedestrian.
Okay.
I'm talking about a life is gone, a little girl.
And
the
man that
was in there, he was also killed. So who's accountable for the little girl?
Well, the accountability is, in our country, unfortunately, is the civil, you know, the civil that's going to have to be paid. But do you go to a penitentiary? Because right now, if somebody came in right now and shot Norm, and the bullet went through the walls and killed somebody in there, and maybe Norm jumped. Norm and his son get into an argument right now. And Norm pull out the gun at his son, and his son, in self-defense, fire and shoot, bullet hit Norm and go through the walls and kill somebody next door. Should his son go to jail? Because he was defending himself from Norm, but the stray bullet went through and hit somebody next door, and he wasn't shooting recklessly or anything. He was defending himself. Should he go to jail?
Yes.
Why?
Because not only did he kill Norm, he killed somebody else.
Okay, on killing Norm, I said Norm pulled the gun out on him. He was justified in doing it. Let's go through that he was justified in shooting that Norm for whatever reason. He was justified, you know, self-defense all the way. But when he shot, bullets went through the walls. I'm not saying Norm lived in an apartment or not, because I don't know. But let's say if he was in an apartment and it went through the walls and struck somebody next door. Should he go to jail?
I say yeah.
The law doesn't agree with you, James.
And that's the cold part about it. That's the cold part about it. Because a crime is a crime, right?
What makes it a crime? Self-defense. It's self-defense. He wasn't recklessly. Now, okay, like I said, if he was recklessly, just shooting, pop, 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 just throwing it all over the place. Now you got a different scenario because he's being recklessly and all of that. But this man is in there trying to defend himself. He was defending himself, and unfortunately, a bullet strayed and went through a wall and killed someone else.
So why would they rule it a homicide?
Anything, taking the life by another man's hand is considered a homicide. But the word you're forgetting is justified homicide or unjustified homicide. So your question is, why would it be considered an unjustified homicide?
Now I'm going to read to you what happened, right? This is what they said right here. Surveillance video shows the 24-year-old suspect, Daniel Alina Lopez, entering the Burlington Coat Factory store in North Hollywood with his bike and wearing a tank top and shorts. He takes the escalator upstairs with his bike. Moments later, he returns to the escalators wearing a multicolored jacket and long pants before swinging his bike lock at customers. He is seen attacking several female customers. Several body cam videos released by police show a woman on the floor covered in blood as officers arrive and attempt to find the suspect, who, according to a police statement on Friday, was a short distance away. An officer can be heard in the body camera footage firing three bullets toward the suspect, who later falls to the ground. Valentina Orlando Peralta, 14, was in the dressing room with her mother when a bullet aimed at the suspect passed through the wall, fatally striking the teenager. Valentina was killed by a gunshot wound to the chest, according to records show. The police department also released three 911 calls and radio transmissions of the shooting. Police were called to the scene following numerous reports of assault with a deadly weapon and a possible shooting in progress at the store. See, they heard that it was a possible shooting in progress, but that wasn't the case, right? They don't know. And I can understand the police walking into an environment like that, not knowing really, because they hear about shootings and it's really just a dude with a lock going around apparently just whooping on people, women, it seemed like, you know, but they have called this a homicide. But the interesting part, though, Reg, is no firearm was recovered from the scene. And that might be his thing where people may say, well, why was you shooting if it wasn't no firearms?
Yeah, well, like you said, they got reports from the dispatcher that it was, or from people inside the store that was shot. But that alone doesn't justify it, but that shows you your mindset, why you got your guns pointed out and pulled out of your holster and all of that, not just walking in, you know. That's why they're coming in like they come in. But the thing is, what did he see in that man's hand that would cause him to fear that him or someone else's life was in danger is what needs to be explained.
But what is the purpose of having a taser?
For non-lethal. So that's if you got something in your hand, non-lethal. That's just to keep me from having to wrestle with your big ass or knowing big ass or whatever and possibly get my back hurt or my arms hurt and to sustain you or even hurt you more. You know, if we beating on you for about 10 minutes or whatever, the taser is supposed to subdue you enough to the point where we ain't got to be all doing all that tussling and wrestling and stuff.
Right. So why they didn't apply that this time?
Like I said, because we don't know what was alleged that he had in his hand. You know, people, you can't hit me up and bust me up. You do. I mean, you can't if you think, number one, there's something in your hands that will hurt me or hurt someone else. And two, you already got reports of shots being fired and all of that prior to getting there. So you're going to be a little bit on edge anyway because you believe the reports that you got that people were shooting inside the location. But that's not that alone right there don't justify you doing what you did. What justify you doing what you did is what you saw when you pulled the trigger. And what that man going to have to justify saying that he saw was something that not just having a stick in your hand, because if you throw a stick at me, that ain't going to kill me or hurt me. But you beating somebody upside the head with that stick or that metal rod or it's sharp enough where I think you could throw it and bust me upside the head and take my gun from me or swing it. I'm close enough to you where you can swing it and bust me upside my head and take my gun from me. Oh, yeah. You can pull the trigger.
Well, they said that the officer that fired the shots is on paid administrative leave.
That's standard. Right now.
And they said he's going to be out for at least 2 weeks.
That's standard. I mean, depending on time is really up to you. When you go to see the shrink and you telling him how you feeling after that, because most cops go, especially if they know it's questionable, they start having headaches and can't sleep and all of that. They starting to build their stress case up. and all of that. But a good shooting where everything was justified, you back in 3 to 5 days. But
so
it is
standard to go. You call this a good shooting?
Like I said, I didn't hear, to be honest, what Norm
right,
said
so
about.
I don't even ask you that until.
Yeah.
But I want you to look it up and look at it. I'm Norm, send Rez the link.
Yeah.
And then you can honestly tell me that it should be some type of punishment for this. Because you go in the department store with a gang of people. And not only that, you put other people's lives in jeopardy when you after the second shot. And that's a proven fact because there's a 14-year-old girl dead.
Were you trained? What you trained to do is to stop people.
If me and my homeboy in there doing a smash and grab and I start shooting at motherfuckers and my homeboy get killed. I got his murder.
Yeah. It's called the felony murder rule. But yes.
Okay, so why doesn't that apply to the police officers?
Because I wasn't in there. I didn't go there committing a crime. I wasn't going in there to commit a felony. Me and you go in the store and we just shopping. Me and you just going to buy a pair of jeans and we want to dress like or whatever. And you start shooting. Do I go to jail now? No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Because
you don't
we're
think
not.
They lock you up too? Cause I
no, not just because you didn't know. If the scenario that you gave, me and you go and do a crime and then you do that, then yes. But we just go in the store and you see somebody you don't like or you get into it with somebody and you decide to shoot them. But we can prove that we were just going there to buy some clothes and it just happened. I do not go to jail for murder at that time.
Well, that
they're going to try to make me a witness
again. Get in
that
car with me and leave. If you get in that car with me and leave, you're going to be charged too.
That's called accessory after the fact.
Right.
And that's only if I know that it happened and I don't report it at some time. But or help you get away somehow. If I like, James, come on, let's go. We got to get out of here. Then I'm an accessory after the fact. But that's still not the murder thing. But now me and you going in there playing the shoplift. Or going in there to plan to look for, you know, hey, this nigga worked there that I got a problem with, or I know that Reggie's inside that store in Burlington Coat factory, and he in that store, and I got a problem with him. We need to go holler at Reggie, and we need to go do this or do that, and then something jumped off. Then yeah, you're gonna go to jail because
it's kind of hard to police it seem like that because you know we got another case, and this just happened too. I don't think I don't know if you heard about this, but on December 8th, man, they had a little kid that was just about to turn 13, man. Little Alexander Alvarado, kid over in Wilmington, that was in the schoolyard, and some guys just come in just dumping, man. They kill a little boy. They shoot a couple of other people, man. They say this, like, this neighborhood don't have gang problems for the longest. Over in Wilmington.
Yeah.
The little boy got killed, man. A whole bunch of other people got shot. And we talking about some kids, somebody shooting around a schoolyard. Because apparently these little kids was out of after school program and they outside. One girl is watching her little brother play basketball. Who comes and shoots at it in the schoolyard, bro?
Yeah, I mean,
guys that used to
unfortunately,
like
that's that.
Matter,
that's that.
Where the
yeah.
place was. Long as that person was there, that was your rival, and you just go stupid, not thinking that you can or going to hurt somebody else, just go in there and just start shooting.
Yeah, this is crazy, man.
We see this every day, but the only thing the difference is today they're catching them on camera. I done seen 3 cats in Compton and L.A. be killed in this video.
It's video almost as soon as the shit happened, pretty much. They sent us the Slim 400 shit as soon as it happened. When the guy Mike got killed, I got that video. It's almost like, do they have surveillance on us at all times?
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the driving to work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody has everybody got rings.
Somebody around that
we got the camera. We got you walking around. Yeah, all three of us got a video in our right hand pocket or our right hands right now.
Right.
The phones. We got phones around. We got rings, cameras. The government got them up. I mean, there's a satellite up there that's looking down on all this shit. If they really want to know something going on outside, they can pull it. They just don't want to expose that. But there's a satellite up there that can tell you everything that's going on.
Right.
So, unfortunately, it's stuff. Yeah, cameras are out there, Norm. And that's why people are kind of stupid. The only thing that's helping a lot of people right now is the damn mask that's over your face. Everybody got a reason now to walk around with the mask over their face.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard because I see both sides. You know, you're a police officer. Now, I know if I'm a police officer, I'm going to be way less likely.
Let me say that. I ain't been a police officer for 26 years. I just understand the thing. Yeah. Everybody always saying this. Well, I ain't been a police officer for 26 years. So,
but you know the rules and the, you know what I'm saying, and the guidelines exactly. And stuff. And I don't know at this point where everything is. I don't know if I see some shit, if I'm even get involved like that, because you don't know what the hell can happen. You wind up going to jail trying to save somebody's life.
Look at that. I don't hate to say this because I know people going to say, there you go. There go that police mentality coming out. The perfect example of what y'all talking about and what James is talking about is that female cop that just got convicted. She, which I believe, got scared. Her lack of training or just being a scary cop. Even though she's been on 26 years, so that's why she got convicted, because she don't have lack of training, and she's been involved in shootings before, but she got convicted because she hollering, taser, meant to pull out her taser, but she pulled out her gun and shot that man.
Well, she looking right down at her gun. She knows she got a gun.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to say she got problems, and so I'm just saying
You want me to read that case? You want to read that case right there, Reg?
Go ahead. I mean, it's going to take me a minute. You know, nigga read slow.
Oh, for but sure. But you know what he's talking about.
Just tell me what he's supposed to have in his hand.
All right. No, this is no. I'm talking about the other one. You're talking about the lady that got guilty. I was gonna read that case.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. For the fans, right there. Sorry.
Ex-officer Kim Potter found guilty of two counts of manslaughter for fatally shooting Deontay Wright. Kim Potter, the former Minnesota police officer who drew a gun instead of a taser and fatally shot Deontay Wright during a traffic stop, was found guilty Thursday of first and second degree manslaughter in a young black man's death. Potter, who was white, displayed no emotion as the verdicts were read and was ordered held without bail. One of her lawyers rested his head on his hands at the defense table. Wright's parents, Arby Wright and Katie Bryant, let out sighs and cries, according to the police pool report. The moment we heard guilty on manslaughter, one emotions, every single emotion that you can imagine just running through your body. I kind of let out a yelp because it was built up in anticipation, Bryant told reporters later. Brian told CNN on Thursday evening, we still don't have Deontay home, and this is just a step toward the bigger issue with policing, and hopefully there's no more Deontays, no more Deontays, and so many more names we chant in our streets. Demonstrators, some carrying Black Lives Matter signs and Porters of Right, applauded and cheered outside the court, a brass band played. And the jury deliberated over 4 days. Jurors deliberated about 27 hours since Monday when, in closing arguments, a prosecutor described Potter's actions as a drastic blunder born of recklessness and negligence, and the defense characterized the shooting as an honest mistake, not a crime. So this woman, she grabs a pistol instead of a taser and kills the man, and she's guilty now.
Yeah, and I disagree with that one.
Why?
So you disagree with it?
I think she fucked up. I think she made a mistake. I think she was scared. I think she is somebody that shouldn't have been a police officer, but I don't feel that it has to be something more that we don't know that caused this lady, number one, for the prosecution to come at them so hard like they did. It could have been because it just happened a few miles, like 30 minutes or something away from the George Floyd situation. And you know, the era we in. There's another situation like that happened before where it was an older white police officer that was a reserve officer. I wonder what happened in his case where he did the same thing where he allegedly accidentally pulled out his taser gun and real gun when he thought he was pulling out his taser. Just from looking at her on the stand, I mean, they pulled him over. The reason why they pulled him over for some bullshit, they pulled him over for because the rookie cop said that he had something over his windshield where it obstructed his view. And then they later found out that his registration on the cars would expire. I think that had a lot to do with it, to why, you know, the jury found him guilty. But trust me, that lady ain't gonna get more than 5 years to 6 years for that crime.
Yeah, she was.
That goes to say that's fucked up. Because well, if I kill a police officer, I'm going to the death row.
Because you shouldn't have been shooting at a police officer. You're not authorized or was supposed to be walking around carrying that.
Are you authorized as a cop to just shoot a motherfucker and holler, taser, Reggie?
No, but I can make a mistake and shoot somebody. No. I can make an accident. I can make an accident and do that.
Your job is to serve and protect. Your job is not to serve and make mistakes.
But it happens.
It happens.
We are human beings. We're not robots. We're not robots.
Life, man. You can't bring that back.
And you can't bring it back.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you something. Every motherfucker like myself that made a mistake in the street, went to jail, had to pay for his crime.
Okay.
What gives the police...
Jane,
different, man.
Shut the F up, nigga. You went to jail and got off on a self-defense case, nigga.
Well, goddamn, that's what it was.
And so my point is...
No, fuck that. Make your point. See, now it's time. We ready. Make your fucking point.
You killed a nigga. And you didn't go to jail. Like you just said everybody that killed somebody need to go to jail. You killed a nigga. And it was justified. I'm not saying you should be in jail for it. Not at all. But deaths happen. Shootings happen where people have to react and do stuff that everybody don't go to jail.
Okay, so let's
because the law says it was like an accident or it was justified.
If I'm a police, if I'm a police officer, Reggie, it's certain things I am truly accountable for than a civilian, a gang member, or whatever. I'm here to preserve life, not take it.
You try not to?
I make a mistake or not, because we all human. We all human, and we can't make mistakes. But, damn, ain't that... How do we make mistakes like that being on the force for over 20 years?
And I said that's why I agree that she got time, because she did. She had 26 years of experience, but that still don't make her scared. That still don't make her scared of black people or whatever. But she made a mistake. I don't think that's my point. Mistakes versus, and I said that with the lady when the shooting in Dallas when we talked. Do we go to jail for mistakes and accidents? I don't agree. You go to jail or prison for mistakes or accidents unless you're doing something illegal. Legally wrong. That's why I always give the example of driving, because that's the best one I can give. Because people die in car accidents all the time, every day. But if I'm driving impaired, speeding or something like that, and then under the same situation I do something, I need to go to jail and pay for it. But if I'm just driving the speed limit, driving down the street and have a car accident and kill someone and they die, I don't feel that I should or anyone else should go to prison for being a police or not. And that's all I ever justify. Mistakes or accident, I don't feel you go to prison for unless you be a neglect, yes, or you impaired or something like that.
That was very neglectful, though, because as a police officer, she was on the job for 26 years. How do you not know where your to difference between your taser and your gun?
People make mistakes, man. And some people ain't never had to be in that situation and pull their gun out immediately and on the spot. Some people haven't. A lot have. But you've been in some lot of suburban areas. You be a Beverly Hills cop and all of that stuff. Those cops ain't pull their guns out like I used to pull my gun out my gun out.
At one point, me and James was working in Beverly Hills pretty regularly, and I got pulled over a couple of times up there. And when I tell you, them police officers was the coolest motherfuckers ever, dog.
That's my point of trying to say.
They was just cool as hell. They was like, Mr. Steele, first of all, they had noticed the SC sticker in the back of my car in the Bosco. So we'd talk about football and shoot the shit for a few minutes. Next, you say, man, I would have had to give you a ticket, man. I don't want to give you a ticket because you sound like a cool dude. Don't do that dumb ass shit no more, and I'll be on my business. But the biggest thing it seemed like they wanted to hear from me was me.
But then tell us about that Long Beach cop, how he talked to you.
Oh, no, tell that motherfucker talk crazy as hell, man.
That's my point about
Long Beach. They talk way crazy. You could tell them cats up in Beverly Hills under way less pressure, man. If something happened, they probably wouldn't even know how to deal with it.
Beverly Hills don't have to deal with what they deal with on the traffic stop in L.A. In L.A., you're mostly pulling over thugs. You know what I'm saying? And there's been some cases, they don't talk about it, where as soon as the police walk up to the door, to the window, nigga popping and trying to take off. So it's here. It's right here. It's a mental thing.
It's how you train. They trained in Beverly Hills. You kind of more be a little bit more community-based, and they done been burnt, and they done seen their fellow co-workers get in trouble for pulling their guns out and doing this, where if my watch commander or sergeant called me in and said, we heard you pulled your gun out on us, and I'll be like, I did. I'm just trying to say how you're trained and you have a different atmosphere. You deal with stuff different in different communities, unfortunately. People don't like to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Ben Crump is on their ass about it, because those people right now in Beverly Hills that was getting jacked and harassed and stuff like that, where Beverly Hills messed up at, is all the people that got arrested, which is a crazy statistic. 99% of them were black. They got arrested for that particular crime that he's on them about, and the other 1% was a Mexican person. So they're trying to tell us no white persons ever did whatever they said was being done. Right. And so I agree with stuff like that. Yeah,
that's some real shit right there, man. You know what the thing is, though, man. everything is so turned up right now as a police officer, and you in certain areas, you almost, if you don't pull your gun, you might mess around and lose your life out there.
In certain areas.
You might mess around and lose your life because, like,
and there's crazy white boys out there too that are doing, you know, crazy areas of white people that are doing, but is unfortunately, it happens a little bit more in our ghettos.
Well, you know, and I think back to that time when I was a young man and they did, you know, come to North Long Beach tripping on me, I was being belligerent. And I'm a big 6'4", 295-pound black man.
Are you justifying the fact
I'm not justifying what they did, but I would have handled that way different today because I didn't make the situation no better.
You're talking to a person that every time he got contacted by the police, he was cussing them out back in the day.
No. And what I'm saying is, I know for sure. But the person today ain't even tripping like that.
Oh.
Is how you doing all this kind of shit like that? Because the time is worse back in my days. If I was that same little motherfucker doing that today, I'd have been there and got shot.
Yeah.
I'd beat the fuck up. Yeah. They would beat the fuck out of me. You know what I'm saying? So
I was in a different community. So you got to remember, you was in a community where the cops, we didn't have nowhere else to transfer to. Those sheriffs in LAPD, they didn't care about being hard ass in an area because of their reputation or whatever got too bad. What they do? The city of LA is so big, they transferred to a different division. They got 15 or 20 different departments within the city of LA.
That's how Jackson and Graves wind up in Linwood. Transferred there from somewhere else, being rowdy.
Yeah.
And they wind up out there.
Well, you know what? What you're talking about right there, James, that's what I was saying. We need to really break that down one day, man. Those cats that was over there from the Linwood Sheriff's Department, the Vikings and everything. Because I'm going to tell you, them police that I deal with in North Long Beach was a motherfucker. But whoever them motherfuckers was that pulled me over off Atlantic Boulevard in Linwood, them motherfuckers was somebody different, dog. I was so fucking mad at them dudes, man, because they was just really on some, like, we go violate you type of shit. We go punk you out, and you better not say shit.
Firestone Sheriffs, the people that go back way back in our day, they were notorious for dealing with brothers and all.
Oh, they used to whoop that ass. They caught me in a vacant building. Me and my boy Runt broke in a building down the street on 81st, just shutting down. We thought it was shit in there because we seen the big ass wall say, we breaking that motherfucker. They whooped our ass all the way to the car.
Yeah.
And we was little motherfuckers. So 76 didn't play.
Yeah.
Motherfucking mm-hmm. Firestone, you get caught.
Because I'm going to tell you this. At that time,
they whooping your ass late at night.
Yeah, because I don't even know how I wound up. But you know how the 710 get cut off sometimes when you're going 710 north from the 105?
You're talking about going north on the 105. Well, the 105 run east and west.
Yeah, east and west. You're going east on the 105, right? You know you got the 710 north to come on.
Well, you used to run to the 605, it didn't used to connect to the 605.
Yeah.
You remember it used to go all the way straight to that Price Club?
Yeah.
It used to drop you off there until they connected the freeways.
Yeah, anyway, I wound up off at I wound up having to take the streets home, right? Pretty much. Mm-hmm. But I was almost there. So at that time, I was in the Escalade, man, big old rims on there. And I had a competition sound system. So even if I had the system turned third the way up, it was banging everything. So I imagine 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, it's still pretty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm rolling down the street. They pull me over. Never tell me what they pull me over for, man. They tear my speakers in my car up, make me sit on my hands outside, and just made me sit there for the longest. You know, when I asked them for their bags number, they laughed at me and laughed. They said, shut the fuck up and just sit down until we get finished doing what we're doing. We don't find shit, we letting your punk ass go. So shut the fuck up.
You know, the best thing that happened to people and stuff like that, to be honest, and because law enforcement was a motherfucker prior to Rodney King, when no cops saw, okay, the DA office ain't protecting your ass no more. They trying to put you all in the penitentiary. But, I mean, it's unfortunate what happened to Rodney King, but I'll tell you, there was a cop out named It was an ex-Hawthorne PD cop. I forget his name. He was going around filming and setting up cops when they were doing dirty stuff. And he was filming himself because he was ex, so he knew how to provoke those cops. And he was video camera. And then right after that, it was, I forget his name. His name was Rodney or Ron or something like that. But then there was a cop. Well, then the Rodney King incident, when those CHP got on the stand and testified to what they saw. And then the DA office went at them hard. They was trying to put those men in jail, which, you know, fortunately the feds ended up, you know, putting them in jail, but the state didn't. But that, all of that stuff that happened, and then cameras and people with the VHSs and recorders and all of that made law enforcement change, I'm telling you. It's still happening, wait a minute, because I know people going to tear me up, you know, but it was a lot worse prior to that. Nothing was happening to cops prior to that. And now, thank God for the cameras and phones and all of that. At least cops is getting held accountable for it when they get caught.
Yeah, well, that's what I always thought. I always thought they should, man, because, like, them whooping people's asses ain't nothing new, dog. I think every community across the country don't have cops to where they don't rough cats up. You know, we used to see it in Cleveland. Cats get tussled up a little bit. Cats get broke off a little bit. But at the same time, I remember when I moved, like, with my pops, for example, he was out by Akron, a little smaller town, municipality. They would catch us drinking beer and just be like, hey, pour that shit out and go on to the house. How your daddy doing? How your uncle doing? They knew uncles and stuff I had. And I'm like, oh, they know my uncle. They know my pops. And that's just what it was. You got told to pour that shit out and get on. You know what I mean? But you did have those certain cops that was racist that would do shit like take you out there, take you out to the cornfields and just do stupid shit like that and drop you off and just leave you out there. You know what I mean? Where you got to walk 2 or 3 miles back to your car and shit like that. You know what I mean?
You have and James done experienced that with both type of cops. He done had the ones that tell him, nigga, get out of here, pour that out or whatever. And he done had the ones that then took him in the car and cuffed him and socked him in the grills and all of that. And to be honest, I'll be lying if I said I haven't seen it in both ways. I was fortunate enough. People always saying Reggie was a dirty cop and this and all of that. A dirty cop to me is somebody that planting dope on you, handcuffing you, and putting their hands on you, lying on you in a police report, and stealing from you. All these niggas that y'all ever talk to can ever say that about Reggie Wright Jr. Because I ain't never had to take nothing from nobody. All I did was stayed on your ass. If I was going to get you, I was going to ride around in a circle and eventually catch you dirty. And that's all I ever did wrong as a cop. And I was young. I was the same age as most of the guys I was chasing at the time. But I couldn't be beating on people and stuff like that. My grandmother lived 2 doors down from James and most of those mob niggas. How would I be beating up on people like that?
What the fuck you mean if most of them mob niggas, like I'm a motherfucking mob member and shit?
You was. Especially then, back you were. Then.
But your grandmother and them, we used to go to the store for them. We used to go find Pops when he went walking and walked a little too far. We used to cut the grass, trim the hedges. I mean,
I'm sorry, I apologize for them.
You know, and they were cool, but no, it was never niggas talking about, oh man, we got to go over here. Reggie did this to us. We gonna get his grandparent. No, nothing like that. But I mean, it just goes to show you, man. If I flipped your strip, the cats today start off talking shit to the police. How do they supposed to react to that? The police officer today, you still got some thinking that they old school in the motherfucker and just straight off coming at you fucked up. Once you get you in that situation.
There's some, but it's nearly not as many as a percentage as it was, because people know that there's little cameras out there now. They can't trust the nigga that's sitting next to them, because I'm not going to jail sitting in a penitentiary for this next man in the car. You know, the loyalty is not there like it used to be. And
you know what?
And trust me, cameras and phones and recordings done changed the game.
Hey, you can't be doing that to people. Let me ask you this, Reg, because I don't hear you and James both missed, like mentioned police stealing. Let me tell you something that happened to one of my homeboys driving down Long Beach Boulevard one night. He used to work downtown, so he would take the streets home a lot, right? Because you know Hollywood, that little part of downtown be real packed on the freeway at night. So he just found out a way to take the streets home. And he would be coming through like Huntington Park down Long Beach Boulevard when it's changing. He said some cats pulled him over in HP one night, was talking to him. He said he had just got paid. He had just got paid, right? Had his check, you know, taking that little money home with him, man. So he had his wallet was on fat. He said the police officer asked him, let me see your wallet. And his stuff was like in his wallet. So his thing, so he just took his whole wallet, right? He said, dude gave him his wallet back. All the money was gone. He said, well, man, what happened to my bread? And started asking questions about that. Dude told him, oh, put your hands outside the window where I can see him. He made him hold his hands outside the window like this. He said, that dude got to whooping his hands with that stick, dog, and told me, if you move, I'll do this and that to you. And hit them all in his hands and stuff, dog. And never gave no ticket or nothing, dog. Took his money and took about $1,800 from a road on about his business, dog.
And that's what I'm going to be saying is a dirty cop. I mean, there's no place for that. It's eventually going to catch up to him. Ain't nobody can ever tell a story about me because not everybody in Compton knew me, but every nigga that was out in the streets that was calling themselves, you know, gang members or body, knew Reggie Jr. I couldn't do stuff like that as a cop.
But that's what I'm saying. But you do know stuff like that really happened, though.
I'm not denying. We had cops set up. We had a female cop. I remember she came on. She was hired the same day I got hired. She used to go out and ride when get away from her partner somehow. Go out and jack Mexicans, you know, like the illegals. That's not a cool word. We used to call them. I'll say a jail term. The Border Brothers type Mexican guy. Go and get them and take their money and from them because he knew they weren't going to court because they don't fuck with the police. They don't talk to the police.
That's fucked up right there. Cause using
they set her ass up because they heard about it and they had an INS agent and they planted him out there in that area. And sure enough, she went out there and did it to the INS agent and they rolled her ass up. Name was Charmaine Drew.
She went to prison?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I'm sure she got arrested. But what I meant by that is I know she had to go do court time and all that. But you know, back then, as you got on your first offense, you probably got some probation and shit too, which I would prefer.
You know what's fucked up about that though, Reg?
I would prefer to go into jail now than to be on probation, to be honest.
You know what's fucked up about that is them people really didn't have no ways to defend themselves, bro, because they already can't trust the motherfucker over here.
They don't trust police.
And then the police come and take their shit from them, dog. And them people work harder than the motherfucker, dog.
Good people.
That's what I'm saying. They're the hardest working people of the deals. And you just go take their
nowadays,
shit, dog.
I mean, our ancestors were the hardest working people because we built this country, you know, contrary to what people want to say. But so I'll say we were the hardest working people. But now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They are the hardest working people.
You know what I'm saying though, Reggie? Because you see them cats, man, they work hard, dog. Like the cats that cut the grass in my crib, dog. They got a good business going. They work hard, dog. They do their thing,
good,
dog.
Honest, hard working people.
You know, They don't bullshit. They don't never try to overcharge a motherfucker more than what they supposed to. They do their job, dog, and they get on.
I got a Mexican lady that comes to my house every morning, 6 a.m. Turn me over, wipe me up, clean me up and everything. She been doing this since January 29th. Ain't missed a day. Was here Christmas, 7 days a week. She goes mm-hmm. see 13 to 16 patients a day.
Now, wouldn't that piss you off if you heard somebody done took her somewhere and jacked her money from her, dog?
Would hurt me if anything happened to her. If
anybody did, that's what I'm saying. That's fucked up, man.
Good people, man. Good people.
And that's
hardworking people. And I'm not saying there's no black. Wait a minute. Let me set this up. I'm sure some black and some white women and some Asian women that does that. But this is who taking care of me. And so this is what I'm speaking on. And I'm sure there's people that say, my mama do that too. My auntie does that as well. And I'm sure it is. But for the most part, as a race, most of the people that was in that's taking care of me, that was CNAs at the cover, at the rehabilitation place I was at, that took good care of me, were Mexican people.
Yeah, for sure, Mexican. Man. Well, we almost at the end of the year, man. 2021 that went fast as hell, man. It seemed like just yesterday.
And I slept it away. I slept most of it away. Was laid up. I've been laid up all 2021, but hey, 2022 is gonna be a better year.
Yeah, hopefully 2022 is a better year.
Do y'all know the date? Today is December the 27th. I don't know when it's gonna get posted or what, but December the 27th, a year ago today, my wife, my mama, and my sister was contacted by the doctor and said, we taking him off the ventilator. We suggest that y'all take him off the ventilator today because there's nothing else we can do for him.
Wow.
December the 27th, exactly 1 year ago today.
And here you sit right here, man, alive and well.
Exactly.
Your wife said, fuck that. I ain't giving up.
It really was my mama, but okay, I'll give her that. but my wife had the authority, and she was smart enough to consult my mama and my sister. Well, my mama was believing that Lord and Savior was like, oh, no, we don't do that. That's God's decision.
So if they took you off that respirator, Reg, you'd have passed away.
I believe.
But I also believe
God gave them the strength and the knowledge not to follow that doctor advice and do that because he had a bigger plan for me.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I always be on you so much, Reds, because I know God ain't gave you no plan to be out here roasting these niggas like that, dog. God got a way bigger plan for you, dog.
I always play defense. When I played football, I was a defensive player. I ain't never agitated or picked on no one. But maybe you and Jay. Other than you and Jay, I ain't never just outright picked on no one. Anything that I ever said or came at was in response to something. Y'all think about my history. Y'all look at it. Go look and see whoever I started and picked on. Anything I ever said or did to someone, you know, I was responding to.
You know the most powerful method, though, I find no rage is silence. When you don't say nothing back to somebody, dog, it's a very effective method. Now, that's one thing.
And that's
thing.
Why we have A conversations. I mean, A personalities, B conversations. That's me. That's my personality. But, nigga, it comes out of you sometime. I heard you say, you know what, James? Those niggas in from jail and shit we be giving money to, you're putting money on their book. We know.
I never said Reggie Wright.
Who was he responding to, Jay? Who was he talking to, Jay?
I don't know, Reg.
that could have been a couple different niggas, Reg. Just like, I never said Reggie Wright.
And that's one thing I can say about Norm. Norm has always said, I'm not, man, Alex, I ain't speaking on that. Reg, okay, I know you're mad at me. He ain't never said nothing out of the line.
I said that. I just heard the nigga say, that no niggas in jail.
Because you know what I do, James? I always felt like this. Especially if it's somebody that I like, dog, I would rather get on the phone with them and talk about that shit, because sometimes there be some shit that's just like, I sit back and laugh. I say, man, this nigga got it all the way wrong. Let me call this dude. Like, the thing with other buddy, though, I just rather not talk to him, because me and him weren't never friends from the gate. It was somebody that I invited on to do something, and it didn't turn out right, and it is what it is. He going about his business, I going about mine. We wish.
Well, I'm like this, man. 2021, I learned to really respect life. I lost two aunties. I lost multiple homeboys on the motorcycle set that was dear to me, older guys that pretty much laced me on their kickback, be calm, pick your fights, learn how to pick your fights. Every argument ain't your fight. Everybody that get into it, you ain't got nothing to do with it. With all of those people and my auntie Saturday burying her, I really understand how I gotta respect life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Responsibility. I am so on that now that I get it. And going into 2022 is just a different me. It's a different me. Nothing matter but my responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about what another grown ass man think or how he feel, especially if you don't know me. It would bother me if it was Reggie. It would bother me if it was Norm. It would bother me if it was somebody close to me. But man, life is too short and too many people are dying. You know what I'm saying? And I got a lot of aunties left and uncles that are old. And burying my auntie, man, I know I'm gonna be back here. You know what I'm saying? And man, you got to hug and love on each other, man. That's why, you know, I wanted to reach out before 22 get here and talk to my brother.
Oh, good. Good.
You know, I just think I need to be strong for my whole family, man, instead of out here on the bullshit. So we all just need to think about life and our family.
And I really believe he's receptive to that, because you know I talk to him here and there. You know me and him still talk. And on that last interview where you told him and you said, I love my brother. I love him. The nigga shut up when I said, nigga, listen to this. What did he say there? He said, all right, Junior, I'll call you later. You know everybody call me Junior that know me.
Right.
Couldn't say shit else no more.
And he probably hung up and cried.
Probably did.
He probably that nigga, because I've been reaching out, telling people, if Timmy need anything, let me know. If Timmy need to move or stay here, Timmy got a room here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care what nobody say. I don't care how nobody feel about me and my brother. I don't give a fuck about a nigga that don't know the history of me and my brothers. We're not cousins. We're not best friends. We're brothers. Same mommy, straight out the same pussy. That's my brother. and I love my brother to death. We gonna fight. We got our disagreements, but touch the nigga. And that's the only time they gonna see me.
I told somebody that before on the stream once on Bomb First. I say, yeah, okay. Well, let something happen to that nigga. Let somebody say something about that nigga. Either way, it goes both ways.
Right.
They both will act the fool behind each other.
That's my brother.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, the thing is, family is always family.
Yeah.
Nope, that's not true.
Exactly.
That's not true.
Because some will hurt and some will do something.
Bury you before your a friend, somebody close to you.
Well, I'm talking about brothers. Yeah, well, of course you like that about family, but y'all brothers.
They killed Abel, no? And I'm trying to tell you, man, I done lived this shit. I done seen it. I done been a victim of.
Man, people don't know the nigga that we talking about on Bomb First right now, that KPD and all of that, this dude, Bruce Richardson. People don't know the real on that. Everybody thinks she'll got something to do with it because it happened the day after an incident that didn't happen or whatever. His brother is the one that killed him. And I said, everybody know it. That nigga brother is the one that killed him. And Bruce Richardson. Why I know that? Why you know that? Number one, it was dope on the counter in the house. He wouldn't have went to the door to let the person in unless it was somebody he was doing business with that knew what that he was doing in the game. Number two, him and his brother was arguing that day. Number three, his gun. Who goes to the door when you have a gun sitting on the kitchen counter? If you feel in some type of way or you thinking this is going to happen or something like that in a gated community, and you go to the door with your gun, if you feel you got to be living in a gated community, not on the kitchen counter to buzz somebody in. You don't buzz a stranger in without a gun and all that. You're buzzing somebody you know.
Right. So. But I say this, man. I respect and I love both of you brothers and a lot of cats that we work with that we done interviewed. I just say, man, let's go into 22. Without no bullshit, without no fights, and let's show motherfuckers that black men can fuck with each other and make money and not hate on each other.
And you're right. I can't make that promise. I'm seeing it. I can't make that promise. I ain't gonna make that promise. But I see it, and I'm being hypocritical because another guy that I like a lot that y'all don't really too much care about because y'all don't know him, and that's why y'all don't. Y'all just hearing, and most people out there, my boy Whack 100. And I'd be seeing that and be like, why is he doing all this? This nigga need to calm down. I need to be able to buy a life insurance policy on him. That's what I really want to do, get a life insurance policy on the nigga. I'm saying that to say, I say I'm not going to be humble like you suggesting I need to be and we should be, but I criticize what he's doing. And I don't like what I'm seeing and hearing from him.
Well, you know what? And this is how I feel, Reggie, about that, right? Like, I don't know Whack 100 to have an opinion on him, you know, either to the left or right. Some of the stuff he say I don't like, especially when it's concerning my friends and people I know, whatever like that. But the guy says a lot of shit that's true. He says some fact-based shit, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to his brand of entertainment, really, so I don't look at all the negative stuff like that. But I think he's done a lot of real heavyweight business stuff in the business. He's made some pretty genius moves business-wise.
Where he don't need to be doing what he's doing.
You know, exactly. He don't need to be doing none of the stuff he's doing, man. That's what be making me wonder sometimes, like, this nigga is actually one of the better younger managers I've seen, you know, and doing stuff. Like, why is he fucking with this other shit?
People don't know he in the position where he could have been doing, and he does deals with Kanye West. Mm-hmm. He don't talk about. We all know about 6ix9ine. I don't care what we say and talk about 6ix9ine.
He's making a lot of money with that dude.
I don't know if he is or not because he spoke on deals that he had. I never heard him say that the deals came through. But I'm sure if he wanted to be a day-to-day manager or whatever, 6ix9ine will sign up for that in a minute. My point to being is two of the hottest people in the game on the hip-hop side, he could have a piece of if he wanted. You know,
I ain't Reg, you ain't never had served me say a hating thing in your life. I don't hate on nobody. My thing is this, the brother do his thing, and he evidently, he's making some bread. I know the music business, and he's doing his thing. I be wondering sometimes, like, why do he want to fuck with this old monkey ass shit? You know what I'm saying? Or maybe he got a $1 million play behind this shit. I don't know. You know, maybe he got a whole bunch of money behind the play. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is this, though, dog. Whatever we do, we got to start keeping in-house business that's in-house business. I see too many cats go to other platforms that's in, and see people out of state don't care because they don't understand the dynamics of this stuff. They think they do, but they don't. So they can pretty much say what they want to or draw this and that. Sometimes some of the stuff these niggas be talking about get somebody whack, man.
Yeah. Hey, I was listening to a stream that you did earlier today with the top 10 best rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get away because I had an interview to do with this guy from Canada, the station in Canada that I was doing. That's why I didn't answer your call, James, when you called me. I was doing an interview with them. But who did that fool? Yo boy, Glasses Malone. Pick as the number one artist. Was it Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg. Yeah, we all have Snoop Dogg in our top 10.
Oh, definitely top 10.
You gotta have Snoop Dogg. I'm gonna tell you why.
I was just wondering Snoop who he Dogg, had as number one.
Snoop Dogg and me, what I did was I did who my favorite.
Did he have as number one first?
Snoop Dogg. You gotta have Snoop. I'm gonna tell you why.
Did you Snoop, have him as number one too?
I did mine, like Snoop would be my top three.
Okay, not number one. I said number one.
You know what? In some categories, number one, yeah, as far as the most popular rapper in the world, yeah, Snoop, because Snoop is
worldwide.
One of those that you can ask worldwide. Anybody. You can go over to Japan and show somebody a picture of Snoop Dogg. It could be a little, they're going to say Snoop Doggy Dogg. You can correct. Go to Australia and show somebody a picture of him. Snoop Doggy Dogg, he's the most recognizable rapper of all time.
But how
time.
Can you give him that credit on the top of the game when he don't own anything?
Well, you know what? I don't know Snoop's personal financials or nothing like that.
But we know everybody else. We know what 50 doing. We know what Puffy doing. We know what Kanye doing. We know what Common doing. We know what all of them doing as far as the money and the investments.
I think Snoop is doing this thing, though, man. Snoop ain't.
I don't know nothing. I can't think of nothing he got ownership in. Nothing.
You know what? I think Snoop owns Mary Jane and a couple other dope ass things. I think he owns Mary Jane. I know he got partners. Mary Jane,
motherfuckers don't even know what Mary Jane is.
Mary Jane is a pretty big endemic company, dog. Mary Jane Media, they do their stuff. And you know what? Actually, was crazy as Regs.
You know, if you would tell me that, I would have said it was some zigzags.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, dog. Snoop got his hands in some stuff, dog. Snoop is a good, Snoop got a good team of business.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me say this. If I had to go and pick somebody's show that's a lie to go to. They say you can go to anybody's show that's a lie to go to. It would be Snoop Dogg's show.
Oh, Snoop got classics, dog. Snoop can run you for about 2 or 3 hours with just music, yeah. Dog. With just music before he even touch any of the new shit he's doing.
Yeah.
And the motherfucker don't touch every genre of music it is. He don't do pop music. He don't done gangster rap. He don't done gospel. He don't done reggae and been successful at them all. You came front on that nigga, dog. He does his shit.
Well,
you know one thing I would like to see, though, Regs? I'm going to tell you what I would like to see just as a fan of brothers really coming together because I'm on some James stuff. I believe anything is possible. What I would like to see happen, and I ain't saying I would like to see niggas necessarily become kumbaya and get all hugged up again. I would like to see y'all, man, kind of get some closure to whatever thing you and Suge got going, dog, what y'all and Suge got going, dog. Even if y'all never be best friends again, I would like to see y'all clean that up. I would like to see y'all sit down and talk to Snoop one day and all them cats.
Disloyalty. When the person is down, you got to remember. I'm going to say something, probably get me indicted tomorrow. But who you think taught those niggas about a 380 into a 9mm? Who you think brought that up to attorneys? That's my point. Shit like that is what saved this motherfucker from doing table dances for somebody right now. And I'll shut up. Never mind.
Yeah, so you don't think it's possible, man, for brothers to sit down and have a conversation?
Well, because when niggas down and all of that, he wanted to kick and disrespect niggas and shit. Niggas, when you save my life, you save me from me. It ain't nothing you can say about me, but what you need. That's the only word you can say to me. What you need? What you want? Mm-hmm. I only got this. That's all I got today. But I'll see if I get some more, I'll get it to you.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Some stuff is so personal.
Man, I had a deal on the table. I had a deal on the table when I was trying to help that nigga, you know, sure, where just trying to get some money for him for a lawyer. I wasn't even trying. I didn't want to see the nigga on the streets because I know the nigga needed to be in jail anyway just for his help and to stop him from doing stupid shit that he was still doing behind jail. The niggas don't know he was still doing stupid shit while he's behind trying to pay off niggas to do stuff. But my point is, oh, my TV, I had it on pause. But my point is, I had a deal working with E1 where they were going to let the sponsor set up for him to do a concert to help raise some money for sure.
Man, raise your phone, probably fell down. Yeah. Yeah, he coming back. It looked like his thing probably fell under something.
Oh.
It's actually there. There you go, right there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I guess God telling me to shut up. Yeah. So I don't shut up. But it was a deal. I want to say that there was a deal on the table where he could have helped to get the man some money. Just for attorneys. That's all I was worrying about. Give the man a fighting chance. And once he found out the real and everything, and he was telling us, yeah, you're going to do this and do that and do that. Never happened.
Yeah, man, but I'm on the same page James is on, dog. Going to 2022, man, we could push all that old-ass shit, dog. Like, when some people come talk to me about stuff that happened 2 years ago, I was like, bro, I ain't on that no more. That train been passed.
Yeah, you can say that, but loyalty is everything, man. You got to show people loyalty.
Well, you know what? And that's the thing is, man, and I do agree loyalty here, man. You know, the thing is, man, we on here talking today. That's a testament to some shit, you know? So,
yeah.
So the thing is, man, I think with some stuff, but y'all know better than me in some of that stuff. Some niggas, you just can't, sometimes it just ain't worth revisiting with certain relationships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that don't mean that people can't move on with their lives, dog, and just go on and do some more fly shit, you know?
Oh, man, you know, like I said, I have nothing bad. I posted something about his mom when she passed and stuff and all of that. My point is, you could deal and feel for somebody, but you deal with people like that from a distance when somebody show you the hand, dog. When somebody show you who they are, you deal with them in that accordion.
Yeah.
You deal with them on accordions.
And man,
you deal with them. And that's all I'm saying. People have no idea the things that was done and helped that man in his defense. And
that's real. And y'all would know about that better than anybody else, dog. You and y'all two sitting right here would know that stuff about that cat more than anybody else.
James made that man. You ever have worry something on your mind where you can't concentrate? Where you just can't concentrate?
Yeah.
That man was like that at that courthouse. Not worrying about whether he's going to get convicted or not. Worrying about niggas walking up to him saying, hey, Snoop, man, my mama about to get evicted. I need $2,500. Because when I know where you're at and I know you, because if you get to me, I'm usually going to have to respond some type of way. But if you can't get to me, I can't never say I didn't know. James protected that man from people walking up on him, patting him on his shoulder, while my two security guards were walking him out. He kept other niggas away and around and off of him. What loyalty is it? Just from that? He gave that man where he can, you know, where he can breathe, where he can focus on his crime.
I got paid from Suge Knight.
I know, but he owe you disrespect. Thanks, James. Watch how he do you in this movie. Watch if he even mention you and all of that. And your security team and all of that.
I hope not.
He should. But watch. I'm just trying to tell you.
Right.
All right. We'll see. We'll talk about it later. Y'all just remember this day when I brought it up.
Yeah, man. So we'll see. So we heard James go for 2022. What's your resolution for 2022, Reg?
To walk. To wipe my own ass.
I think it's coming, bro. I think it's coming because your mind's still sharp in the motherfucker.
Yeah. But... Hey,
you got nothing but prayers all around you. Your wife, your mama, pops, your family.
So I got a whole village. Hey, so yeah,
you right here from a year. This is where you at today, able to talk. It didn't take your mind.
Yeah. So,
man, you just gotta look at it and believe that this is a second opportunity for you. He didn't take you away because he said, okay, I'm done with him. He left you here because he got a plan.
I agree.
You gotta figure it out what the plan is, and you gotta jump right into it and start living that.
You're right.
There's some stuff. Hey, but it's some stuff. I'm about to we go close this off for the people, but we go continue a conversation offline, the three of us, all right?
Okay.
We'll continue a conversation. So we check back in with y'all next week. And we out here, y'all.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a happy new year.
Happy New Year, Gates Chronicle family.
Peace.
We out.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Yeah. Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Kurtwood Smith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.